Hello and welcome to another Wall of Sound interview. I'm Ebony and I'm talking with one of the most influential musicians of his time, Jazz Coleman of Killing Joke. Jazz, how is everything?
Oh, yeah, good. I mean, Auckland and it's bucketing down out here, but very happy to be here. Glad that I'm not in the Northern Hemisphere where everybody's freezing to death. Great. Well, we'll get started then.
Yeah. Now, with Killing Joke, you've just finished up opening for Tool as they toured their new album, Fear Inoculum. I imagine that would have been like an amazing tour to be a part of, right?
It was. It was fantastic to be part of. You're playing to hardened Tool fans every night, but we got a standing ovation. Of course, it was helped by Maynard saying, you've got to get these guys back catalogue. Everybody's going to buy it. He was doing this like evangelising most nights. And so it was most endearing and uplifting to sort of have that sort of support from Tool themselves. And of course, they're old friends of ours. I've known them for over 25 years when we were both at Zoo Records, and it's great to see them doing so well. That being said, do I like touring stadiums? No, I don't. No, there's, you know, metal detectors. You can't have anyone backstage. What else can I say about it? It's like being in a supermarket, really. You know, and everything's so corporate. And no, I prefer like big theatres myself for Killing Joke, and I prefer this life as opposed to the stadium existence. That's another level, and I didn't sign up for that, you know.
Good to know.
We don't really want to do the stadium thing again, the boys and myself. Yeah, we're kind of through with that. So it's nice to know one has so many blessings already, and you know, everything else is a kind of bonus. You know, it's an interesting life. I'm a maestro of orchestras, and then I get to be in the most innovative, experimental band, influential band in the world. And it's a nice place to be 2 months away from your 60th birthday.
Oh, how beautiful. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I do want to ask about your new album. It's very interesting. Correct me if I'm saying this wrong, because it is Latin. Magna Invocatio?
Magna Invocatio. Yes, that's right. Well, what a recording. I mean, of all the recordings I've done a lot of recording. Bear in mind, I've done as many classical recordings as I have done Killing Joke recordings. But this, Magna Invocatio, is amazing because it's not only Killing Joke's music, it's the official music for the spiritual arm of the United Nations. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That it's your band that's been orchestrated, and now it's the ceremonial music for the UN. It's hard to grasp.
It is.
But there we have it. So the two sides of my life effectively have kind of merged. You know, the rock side is, and when you look at the photographs on the inner sleeve, you'll see I've tried to capture that with them. Well, with my classical persona, and then of course what I do on stage with Killing Joke, which is a sort of extension of the Harlequin madman or fool image, if you like, archetypes, and so these two aspects of my life have kind of merged together into one project, and I really believe this project was ordained by higher forces, take that as you will, because it was really an impossibility from the outset, and it was only when I really decided to use the prose from the Great Invocation, which is the official text of the UN, when I decided to set this into Latin and do radical rearrangements of Killing Joke's more uplifting music, that the two merged together, and then from that point I had this incredible dream. I have to tell you about it because, you know, I haven't had a dream for like 25 years, maybe more.
Oh.
But I had this dream after I decided to set the Great Invocation to sort of a radical rescoring of Killing Joke's music. I had this dream that I was in the Tsar's palace, in this beautiful winter palace. And this orchestra in full evening attire was playing, and it was floodlit, and the ceiling was actually the night sky, and I heard from beginning to end what we have now, the recording of Magna Invocatio. I heard it. I was there. And then 2 days after this dream, I had all the funding to go to Russia and record. And when I got to Russia, and I was in a state of shock, you know, because I was suddenly told, you're going to Russia to do this recording, which I'd given up on. I thought my name would be trashed and everything. Mm. When I got to Russia, I suddenly found I was with Russia's oldest orchestra, and I was moved up from the state orchestra to Russia's oldest and one of its greatest orchestras, and which was unforeseen. And I had the most incredible recording of my career. I mean, what you're hearing of when you hear Magna Ducati is basically live takes of a choir with full orchestra.
Ah.
And my conductor, Yuri, he said before the recording, he said, I think this is too ambitious. I don't know whether we're going to manage this. We had the most transcendental recording. I mean, it was just so emotive for me being there. I mean, it's not like rock musicians or a rock recording, because everything comes back finished with classical music. So you have this immediate effect of experiencing the music, and it comes back finished. And it was so emotional. It was so overwhelming. The music, when I first heard it, it brought me to tears. And I can't say any music of mine has ever done that.
Really?
Until this recording. And when I hear this recording back, it's still very emotional. It's got to be the only recording I've ever done where I listen to it maybe twice a day or more since I did the recording.
Wow.
And that's quite a while ago. So I'm extremely proud of it, and I believe it can really lift everybody's spirits up to planetary consciousness. I believe it has,
holy moly,
a magical effect of lifting your spirit up and connecting you directly to divine forces, which is why I did it, to be honest. And when I look at what's happening now, I mean, Magna in Boccaccio is just gone viral globally, in China, in Russia, all across the world, in India, everywhere, all over the world. It's reaching its mark, and I believe this is just blessed. There's no rationality to this, you know, the events that have taken place. So you could say I'm somewhat elated.
Well, I have to say, transforming Killing Joke songs into orchestral pieces, what was it like looking so closely at all of your old work?
Well, yes, that's a very good point. There were moments when, like when I did Adorations, I thought, oh, God, I've done this before. And, of course, I've done it before. Yeah, I had that kind of feeling. You know, it's very odd feeling orchestrating your own work. But I knew what to do with it. There was never any hesitation about what I could do with it. And I'm so proud of it, because there's a whole contingent of people who are put off Killing Joke by its initial intensity and brashness, you know.
Mm.
But when I present the harmonies, the unique chord formations of Killing Joke's music, when I present them with orchestra, and well, a lot of people who don't listen to Killing Joke are listening to Killing Joke now.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I noticed after listening to Killing Joke for 40 years that when you had a meal, Killing Joke gave you indigestion, you see. So I was determined to write a piece, a great piece that you could put on with at the same time as you serve the appetizer and drinks. And it's still going by the time you finish your dessert and you bring out the cigars or whatever you do, you know?
That's beautiful.
So on a more secular level, it became something I wanted to create for a Sunday roast or a feast of the gods, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, two extremes.
So, yeah, and 2.5 weeks ago, I was at the United Nations, and I was a guest there, and wow, I learned so much. I learned that America hasn't paid its subscription to the UN, and that nobody's being paid wages at the United Nations at the moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, if you can imagine that, then that's a kind of microcosm of the state of the world. You know, and then add the madness that suddenly Killing Joke's music, the official ceremonial music of the UN.
Yeah.
You think about this kind of backdrop to the UN, it's just ludicrous and utterly insane.
my goodness. Yeah.
It's been a sure, interesting journey. I mean, that trip, those 8-9 days I had in St. Petersburg, even though it was like 30 below zero, it was the most incredible experience. Mm. Incredible experience, because I was kind of resonating with the sound, you know. It's funny, I see music differently to other people. I'm essentially an animist, you see. I believe that I breathe life or mana into a composition, and then it has life of its own and it takes me with it, you see. And this is what Magna Invocatio is. It's an energy in itself, and it's lifting people's spirits up all over the planet as we speak. And I'm from a generation of musicians who believes that we don't just change lives with music, we can change the planet for the better, you see. This is the work ahead. I mean, I can see that what I have to do. I want to play music wherever there's problems in the world. I want to play music in Jerusalem and Tehran. I want to work with the Baghdad Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
I want to get out there, you know. I want to work everywhere in the world and work towards planetary consciousness.
Wow.
Because the other option is setting back evolutionary progress by millions of years.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's crazy. I think that for this album, you do have to listen to songs side by side, because I listened to The Raven King from your album, Absolute Descent, and then your reimagined version, and it's beautiful. Like, you can hear the similarities. I've loved that.
Yeah, well, it made me... this one, Raven King, of course, I'm always mindful of Paul. And I, wow, when they played that, actually, it's on YouTube, and very, very emotional. I don't know what to say about it. I feel that Killing Joke, the role of Killing Joke now at this time in history, we are born and destined to be the band here to hold everyone's hands.
Yeah, as they make their own way.
Yeah, and so we just have to get through this year, and then we'll be back. And I say get through this year because, you and I, we should speak this time next year, and we'll discuss the year.
And we'll see what's happened since then, yeah. This is a great way to be leaving the decade. I think we do have only a few minutes left, so I might ask you one last question. Do you think there's an ideal way to listen to Magna Invocatio?
Well, sure there is. First of all, you need to get together with your friends. Sundays are probably a good day to do it, because Sundays are so boring. we need to do a three-course meal, for sure. I don't know. I mean, a Sunday roast is good. I don't know how you do roast potatoes, but let me tell you how I do them. What I do is I parboil my potatoes, then I roll them in mustard powder, and then I do them in walnut oil. Oh, my God, they're just fantastic roast, like a roast lamb with that, and you know, served with mint sauce, but we cook it in red wine and everything. And then a starter and everything. So, look, we invite all our friends around to a banquet, to a feast. And all the drinks and poisons that we know that people like are all mysteriously there. And we put the music on when we've had at least a glass of wine or smoked something. And then dinner is served while the music plays.
Beautiful.
There you go. That is the ideal setting.
Beautiful. I love that so much. Jazz, it's been lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Big pleasure, my darling. It's a great life.